This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. And we've got both participants. Dan's on the left coast and I'm on the right coast. And we're waiting with bated breath for the debate today, tonight.
As is the whole country, apparently.
Yeah, it's they're predicting, 100 million people or better will watch it tonight?
100 million people, a Super Bowl-sized crowd.
Yeah.
How many people in the United States? Like 330,000? Is that
million? Million. 330 million.
Yeah. So.
A third. But they're saying that a large audience will be watching it from around the world. That they are interested in it as we are, and I'm such a novice, and I'm small-minded and everything like that. I can't imagine preparing for a debate like that. And one side, it seems, that Hillary's been doing her playbook and, figuring that she's going to be able to say anything about anything around the world, and, she has her whatever. And Donald sort of... Yeah, my ego will get me through it. Why do I need to study all that stuff?
I'm great already. Why do I need to know anything? I'm great.
So it's going to be interesting, I guess. It'll either be interesting and fascinating, or within 10 minutes, everybody will turn it off and go to a Western.
Well, I think it's going to be a very, very interesting debate for the full 90 minutes. And then I think the follow-up to the debate is going to be just as interesting when you go to CNN and hear how great Hillary did, and then you go to Fox and you hear how great the Donald did. Nothing will change. It's Groundhog Day all over again.
Unless somebody really messes up. And
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see if Hillary can endure, and I mean that seriously. When I say endure, physically endure, she's going to be there standing on her little fat butt tootsies for 90 minutes. And Trump has proven over and over again he can stand up there and talk for 2 days, but she's not had a press conference. She's not really stood up and debated anyone, even Sanders, and she's not going to have a stool to sit on. So we'll see how dehydrated she becomes.
Yeah, the physical element in this debate really swings towards Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I think Hillary is going to pull experience out of the bag and say that she's the experienced candidate, which is true.
It's true, but...
She's had experiences.
But, like they were saying, or other folks on television were saying, she's got a fine line to walk. If she starts bragging about her experience, she can say time. I've been doing this for a long time. But she can't really claim any games to fame, be it Obamacare, be it Benghazi, be it Libya in general, be it,
Yeah, she's a little short on the accomplishment side.
Yeah, so she's got a fine line to... She can't brag about her accomplishments because she has none, really. And she can say, I was there when... And it's even like someone was saying her deal on Benghazi. I was in the Situation Room. Well, if you're there, then why didn't you do something? If you weren't there, then you should have been there.
Why weren't you there?
Yeah. So I'd say if Donald played his cards right, and I think he's quite capable of doing that, Hillary and her experience has sort of painted her into a corner in many cases.
Well, do you think Lester Holt is strong enough to keep this debate on course, or is he going to get run over? He's a single moderator, I believe.
Yeah.
That's the position I wouldn't want to be in.
Well, they were talking about it, too, today, and have been talking about it, that the two debaters should be their own checks and balances. If Hillary tells a lie, then Trump should catch it and say, wait a second, that's not true, and vice versa. That the moderator should not be the check and balance on the fact and fictions. Is this guy strong enough? I don't know. I'm not a big follower of his, and so I can't address that because I just honestly don't know. I did a little bit of debating in high school, not in college, but in high school, and they never have had, quote unquote, in my opinion, a real debate. It's always sort of been, I ask you this question, you answer it, and
And if you mention my name in your answer, then I get a rebuttal. If not, maybe somebody else gets to talk.
And I don't
strange
know.
Rules.
Yeah, the rules and all of this stuff. And I would like to see a down and dirty mud fight debate personally, but I don't know that that's going to happen. And it's going to be. In my opinion, and only my opinion, it's for Trump to lose. I think people in general are seeing Hillary for what she is, and that's a liar. And, she keeps, the more she says, the more she lies. So, it could be that let her talk, let her lie her way into a hole, and then Trump comes up and says, 90% of what you just said was a lie. How are you going to get out of it?
So the mental image I get when I'm thinking about the presidential race is of a marathon, and Hillary is the early leader, and she builds a pretty good lead, and the finish line is coming up. And she's starting to get some cramps and fading, and here comes Trump, and he's strong, and he's running fast. But, the suspense is, of course, is he going to catch her before the finish line? And I think it's going to be real nip and tuck. And somebody said that Trump needs to be probably 8 points ahead for him to win this election. And I sort of agree with that.
Yeah, I haven't heard any statistics on or points or anything like that, but he's come a long way since the Democratic convention, and in some areas he seems to they say he's leading. I don't hold much to the polls though, actually.
I don't either, but it's an interesting thought that kind of reflects. My feeling is that if Trump doesn't soundly beat Hillary, he probably won't win the election. He's got to do it in a robust style.
And we certainly live in different parts of the country. I still go back to the thing, and I don't know who I'm quoting or who it was that I read, but some people are predicting that he's going to win by landslide, and they base that sort of on the same thing that I've based. I think he will win. My scenario is that there's still that, there was a Christian silent majority back in Reagan's day. But I just think there's a silent majority that are going to, and they will come out to vote. That's the thing that should be scaring the pants off the Democrats, is that people that haven't voted in a couple of elections or have just been upset, you know, I think those people are going to come out of the woodwork and vote. And I think it's going to, I think it could easily be a landslide for Trump. You know, who am I to say? I'm not a pollster.
I think, I think that's wishful thinking. I think that people who haven't voted in the past aren't going to make it to the polls this year either. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, and we'll certainly see. The proof will be election day. I think the vote count probably will be higher than typical, but I don't see, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And I've heard so much about this debate. I'm so sick of it. I wanted to hear other news this weekend, and that's all anybody's talking about on the channels is, you know, the debate.
Yeah.
I say let's get it. It's like a heavyweight fight. It's a big build-up, and by golly, this debate better be good, or there's going to be a lot of real unhappy consumers out there.
And I understand
they won't get their money's worth.
Well, I understand there are going to be no commercials. It's going to be straight 90 minutes.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, that's going to be rugged for Hillary. I agree with what you said. That's going to be rugged. Oof.
I would think so. But I guess time will tell. She's going to... You know, there was one of her debates with Sanders, and I don't remember which one. In fact, I didn't watch it, but the news later was that in the middle of the debate, she had to take a potty break.
Yes.
And I wonder what they're going to do if there are no commercials, how old Hillary's going to stand up there with her diapers on and make it, you know?
She's got a line running down to a Coke bottle or something.
Yeah, well, she may have been watching those catheter commercials that they've been running, you know.
And Sanders wasn't real hard on Hillary. He supported just about everything she said.
Yeah.
This is going to be a whole different experience for her, and we'll see if she holds up.
Yeah, I don't think she's ever really faced the potential hostility Trump could bring on her, you know.
Yeah,
and you know, she's supposedly 5'4" and he's 6'2" or 6'3", something like that. If he doesn't bully and if he's a gentleman, he could still be extremely intimidating.
Yeah, and he's got to be a gentleman. If he's seen bullying a small woman on the stage, it's not going to be good for him.
No.
Women would turn from him in groves. I mean, he's got to be respectful and as polite as he can be.
Good for him, because I couldn't be. But with that being said, we got to take our first break. We'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Obamacare is failing. We all know that, but you need to know why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org. This is Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Join us at ObamacareWatch.org.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby. The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. And we are delighted to have a guest on, Janice Stillman. And she's from the old Farmers, or the original Farmers Almanac. And we wanted to discuss what's going on at the Farmers Almanac because this is an exciting time for you all, Janice. And thank you for joining us today.
It's great to be with you. Yes, this is a very exciting time. It's the 225th anniversary issue of the oldest continuously published periodical in North America. But, you know, we don't rest on our laurels. We're quick and fast working on the 2018 edition as well. But I think folks will find 2017 just great fun to have.
And, you know, we're gonna make an offer, and I talked to Ginger about it and your publisher about it and so forth. People that are listening, and this is the end of September, because I don't know if they told you, Janice, but we have a lot of folks that download this show and listen to it through a podcast, and will be listening. Anybody that emails me, david@americaswebradio.com, between now and, let's make it October the 15th, that's a Saturday. So that's a little over 2 weeks. Anybody that emails me, david@americaswebradio, and requests a Farmer's Almanac calendar, we'll send you a calendar.
That is a great deal.
And let more and more. I love your publication. We had Tim on, about 3 months ago. Two or three months ago.
Uh-huh.
And
that would be Tim Clark. Yes, he's one of our editors, and what a storyteller! I bow to him. He is a great speaker.
Oh, he is.
What a great guy! He's been there for a few years, hasn't he, Janice?
Yes, he has. He's been here for several decades. He took a brief respite to go teach school English, actually, at the local high school, and. He's extremely literary and has a degree in folklore, so, you know, he fits right in here, but I know he was a superior teacher as well. But You know, I'm thrilled to hear that you love the Almanac. Thank you very much, certainly, first. It means the world to us to hear from individuals, and we do from across the country. But, you know, Robert B. Thomas, whose picture is on the cover, set the goal initially 225 years ago to be useful with a pleasant degree of humor. So if we make you smile and we fill in a gap with some kind of helpful hint or recipe or advice or, you know, even the sunrise at length of daytime, that would be swell, too. So thank you so much for your enthusiasm for the Almanac.
Oh, and I love your weather predictions. And I think Tim wrapped the weather predictions up that you all are correct 80% of the time.
Yeah, we try. Yeah, traditionally 80% accurate, sure. Sometimes we get a little bit above that. And certainly sometimes, you know, we have the occasional miss. So last year was a big one because the El Nino kind of threw a wrench into our system. But, you know, we're back and we're aiming for 80 again. And, you know, so we'll try. You know, I know the forecast for your area is generally through the winter mild and dry, which means above normal temperatures and, you know, sort of below normal to near normal rainfall. But I'm also looking at the color weather map in each edition, and I'm seeing that mild and snowy conditions are going to reach down like a tongue into the Appalachians. And, you know, if that north wind blows a little harder, you folks might see a little bit of ice and flurries in the air as well sometime midwinter, like, say, February.
Well, yeah, you know, at 80%, the Farmer's Almanac is more accurate than the weather people here. We sort of go with the weather forecast here, subject to change without notice.
That's
the way
they
operate.
It's kind of like we say up north here. It's if you don't like it, wait a while.
So how long have you been with the Almanac?
I joined the Almanac in the year 2000, and unbeknownst to me until I got involved in the interview process, but I am the 13th editor. Here's the thing, though. There's a gentleman here who's been with the Almanac for more than 50 years, Judd Hale. Perhaps you've spoken to him over the years, but he's quite a character. And he said to me, look, he said, if you have any fear of the number 13, we'll go out and we'll hire somebody for, you know, I don't know, a couple of weeks or a month, and they can be 13, and then you can come back in as 14, and you can, you know, start right off. And I said, you know, I'm going to go with 13 as my lucky number, and indeed it has been.
That's great. And you, what is your particular position at the Almanac? And I know that you all, not only the Old Farmer's Almanac, but also you have other publications that everybody seems to be a part of. So which cap are you wearing?
Well, when all is said and done, I guess I'm the last one to sign off. The buck stops here, and the signature goes down. But everybody here, as you point out, all of our six or seven editors, including our art director, work on all of the calendars, and they spin from the themes of the Almanac. So we get the Weather Watchers calendar, the gardening calendar, the country calendar, the recipes calendar. We've got a brand-new moon calendar, because moon is one of the strongest enthusiasms of Almanac fans everywhere. So we've also got the Old Farmer's Almanac for Kids. We're currently producing the 7th edition. The 6th edition should be available to folks in bookstores across the country. What else? Well, we have a couple of brand-new cookbooks this year. The real big highlight and the really fun package was the Reader's Best Recipes and the Stories Behind Them. And that's a collection from folks across the country in Canada. Fabulous recipes, but what makes them fabulous also is the stories about where they came from these are the recipes that people bring to potlucks and family reunions, the things that the dishes that get licked clean, so to speak, and you know they're the recipes from generations before, from the mother, from the aunt, from even in some cases just made up with the ingredients that happened to be in the pantry that day because it wasn't time to get to the grocery store, and they become the dishes that everybody wants over and over. So everybody here at the Old Farmer's Almanac plays a role in developing and writing and proofing and proofing again every publication that we do. And, you know, as I say, my role is really to kind of oversee and take responsibility and sign off and you know, but we share all of the applause, I promise you. Everybody here works as a great team. We're up here in Dublin, New Hampshire, I should point out, too. And if you'd like to see us coming and going, you could go to the website almanac.com. And if you scroll down a bit on the right, you'll see, and this is good for mobile phones, by the way, I should point out, too. It's highly mobile responsive. But you'll see our barn red building in the parking lot in front and a peek of the church steeple behind us here. And you'll see the leaves starting to change on the trees that surround the building. And it's a 24/7 camera, and you can see us coming and going, as I say, here in Dublin, New Hampshire.
Oh, neat, neat. You know, you mentioned fans, and you've got to have some extraordinary fan letters, I would assume, that you've gotten over the years. Have you gotten a real, off the top of your head, do you remember a real positive and a real negative?
Wow. There's truly far more positives than there are negatives. But you know what we also get is a lot of questions. We have several channels through which people can reach us. For example, we still get some regular mail, you know, through the USPO, thank goodness.
That's and, more than I'd say here at my office.
We not near as much as we used to, because of course most people reach us through the website feedback channel, so it would be almanac.com/feedback, or on quite a few pages, mostly, you know, a lot of the gardening pages and other content areas of the website, and certainly through Facebook. We've got 1.4 million plus fans on Facebook. But folks ask us questions and make comments, and you know, they're generally very forgiving, and I'm just looking. I'm pausing, hesitating here because I didn't know you were going to ask that, and I'm thinking,
I'm sorry.
I've got the couple. No, that's quite all right. A couple of the letters I've got. One here was a woman wrote to ask about information about getting rid of bed bugs, and this was a handwritten. And she was out in Sterling, Colorado. How do you get rid of them? Can you kill them? And we sent a response back to her. Of course, some people query doing stories about, you know, here's one about legumes, beans, and things. I can go into another channel here, too. I mean, we get questions, and people write and ask specifically about growth problems, soil problems, plant problems in their own backyard, and we do the best we can to respond to them. And I got to tell you, we learn a lot in the process, so, you know, all the questions are welcome.
You know, I was just thinking a negative. I could see somebody writing you or calling you and saying, look, I've got my 2016 almanac right in front of me. It's 32 degrees and raining, and it's a terrible day. And in the almanac, it says it's supposed to be 72 and sunny today.
Well, you know, sometimes that happens. I mean, to be honest with you, seldom on a one-day-at-a-time basis, because they're a bit more forgiving. But I did have a fellow write and just last week, and he said, you know, it's been blasted hot here. You said it wasn't going to be in Texas. The fellow was in Texas, actually. It's been over 100. I can't stand it. You know, said it wasn't going to be this hot. And, you know, I wrote back to him myself, and I said, you know, you can't fool Mother Nature. It didn't work out the way we thought it was going to be right now. I mean, this might change. So sometimes we catch a trend. Sometimes we catch the absolute weather forecast. And something like this happened a few years ago in California when the El Nino, we thought was going to be, this had to do with El Nino, La Nina, but we thought one of them was going to come back to life and influence the rainfall. And we predicted more rainfall than California had seen in a while. And a couple of folks right in the heart of agriculture country out there emailed and said, you know, what's up, you guys? You know, where's the rain? You promised the rain. Well, we're only traditionally 80% accurate, and I don't mean to make light of that, but the point is that we are so touched that they care so much, that they trust the Old Farmer's Almanac weather forecast as completely and hopefully as they do. And, you know, we regret any errors and at all, but certainly when we know that it influences livelihoods and lives and, you know, and people just whole temperament and demeanor. I mean, the weather is everything. It's every all weather is local, as they say.
Janice, if
so
you can...
We do get those on occasion.
If you can, we're going to take a break, and you'll stick with us. We'll be back after this.
We got to come...
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show. We have a very special guest on. And this, Janice Stillman is the lady. She's an editor with Farmer's Almanac. Is that the right title, editor?
I'm the editor. Yes, you got that right. But it's the old Farmer's Almanac.
Almanac.
I'll tell you why. Because Farmer's Almanacs are a genre, you know, like news magazines, sports magazines, fashion magazines, what have you. And Farmer's Almanacs are as old as dirt. As long as folks have been working the soil, they've been publications, sometimes, I understand, chiseled on sticks back in the ancient Egyptian days. But Farmer's Almanacs are a genre. There are lots of them out there, always have been. But it's the yellow cover with the big red digits in the middle that is the oldest continuously published periodical in North America and the one that is truly a calendar of the heavens with its calendar pages with all the astronomical information.
Well, we off mic, we were talking about the fact that I can't speak for everybody, but I can certainly speak for myself, that I can't pick up the old Farmer's Almanac and not have a smile on my face and feel good about it. They're just something. I love the ads. I love all of it from cover to cover, and it's just fun to do it. Let's talk about what you all are doing for the 225th year of being in business and producing it.
Well, sure. You know, we have a special section because, I mean, we wanted to kind of introduce folks a little bit to the publication as well as certainly provide them all the kinds of tips and advice and gardening and things like they know that they're used to. But we have a profile of, it's an autobiography, actually, of the founder, Robert B. Thomas. He wrote his own story for the 1833 edition and because people were just asking. You know, the book had come out in 1792, and it kept coming, and it sold more and more every year. And I think people back then remember the dirt roads, travel by horseback, no phones, no television, you know, very few newspapers. People bought his almanac, and I think they wanted to know who he was and how he came into it. And so we have his story here, perfectly readable. But it's a fascinating tale of an early entrepreneur in colonial America. He started as a school teacher. I won't give it all away here, but, you know, was a bookbinder and tried several times to launch his almanac and had a fascination for astronomy. And we've also got a couple pages from the original first edition. And yes, you will see some funny letters in there. There's an S that looks like an F because that was the way it was printed at that time. So a little tricky sometimes to read, but you'll also see how back in 1792 they took off freckles, cured corns on the feet, cured toothache, and best of all, what we really wanted to show people was the calendar pages, how they're the same and how they're only slightly different from what Robert B. Thomas put in his first edition. You'll see the columns of numbers with the astronomy and astrology, the farmer's calendar essay. But, you know, one of the most fun sections I think people will enjoy, too, is the timeline of the history of the old Farmer's Almanac, 225 years of love, luck, and tradition. some of our most unusual forecasts and anecdotes from the 1816 edition, The Year Without a Summer, and how snow was predicted in the summer month and actually did fall up here in the Northeast. The story of how Abraham Lincoln defended a man accused of murder, actually killing by a slingshot, and it was alleged to have occurred in the moon's light on August 29, 1857. And this, you know, Abraham Lincoln, an attorney, actually won acquittal for his client by holding up the old farmer's almanac and opening to the calendar page and showing that the moon was indeed running low, that is, not so high in the sky and not high enough to cast any light, so he got his client acquitted. So the old farmer's almanac was involved in a murder case. Then we've got the really unusual predictions of John F. Kennedy's murder, or at least the coincidence of a prediction in the almanac and the event occurring in 1963. The farmer's calendar essay reads, "Night is coming on, and murder perhaps, immediately adjacent to the day number 22 in November." And at the bottom of the page appears a quote that says, "Two full moons this month, guard against crime." And of course we know that there were two assassinations, JFK and then Lee Harvey Oswald himself, in that month, and it just gives chills. But on a more fun note, there's a couple of comments about in 1984 it was observed the careful observation of nature's ways, on which many of this almanac's predictions are based, is no longer considered a foolish method for looking ahead in time. And you know, just it's a bunch of things, goes on for several pages. We have several celebrities who answered a few questions. Tom Brokaw, for example, the news guy. What do you like about the almanac most? He says, the quirky small items that contain a large dose of practical wisdom. John Boyd, a farmer, the farmer president of the National Black Farmers Association, he likes the upcoming year's weather, and he uses the moon dates to plant his crops, very traditional fashion. A number of other people from across the country. But, you know, then we've got some of the usual fun and frivolity, if you will, in the old farmer's almanac. So, for example, if folks out there have a dog, you know, we're all busy these days, 24/7, everybody's life is busy. If you don't have a dog, you might want to get one when you see how you can train your dog to wash your car, change a light bulb, and help with your child's math homework without getting it chewed up. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's just something that we thought would be fun for folks. And I just don't want to overlook, too, you know, goodness knows there are a lot of folks out there looking for companionship, and certainly we're on the web, and you're looking on the web, you're using dating websites. Well, we've got How to Woo on the web in the 2017 Old Farmer's Almanac, some tips on using your best efforts on the dating websites. For example, how to take the best selfie. Listen up here. Center yourself in the photo frame. Tilt your head and smile enough to cause eye creases. And when you get on that first date, we got this from an expert. Guys apparently take 15 minutes to decide if they want to go out with the girl again. And ladies, we're taking an hour to make that decision. So if the guys can slow down and the ladies can speed it up, maybe there will indeed be a second date. So that's just a couple of the tips you find on how to find love in the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Now, is all of that in your 2017 edition?
All of that and more.
All that and more. Wow. And when will that be hitting the bookstores and marketplace?
Oh, my. Oh, yes. No, the Old Farmer's Almanac is out in wherever books and magazines are sold, actually, in some of the places you least expect, from your craft stores to your hardware stores, certainly the nurseries and grocery stores. You look for a display. It's a box set up with the Old Farmer's Almanac, and it could be calendars or the cookbook or the kids' almanac in with it. You know, certainly ask folks in the store. Look for your you can also, by the way, get your e-reader edition. Virtually any device that you use to read your books, you can get at the Old Farmer's Almanac, the e-version, or certainly where you buy your e-books. You know, we try to be right there wherever folks are and with whatever they're looking for with the Old Farmer's Almanac.
I would say one of your biggest, I was there this weekend and saw, is the big orange box, Home Depot.
Oh, sure, yes, yes. That's a great client, and it's a great way to connect with folks. So, you know, Old Farmer's Almanac readers long have been do-it-yourselfers. They're very practical, pragmatic kind of people, typically. And, you know, it just serves everybody's purpose to be able to pick up your old farmer's almanac where you go to get your tools and things to do it yourself.
Have you published a book yet for the old farmer's almanac? Or are you planning to publish a book?
Well, over the years, there have been collector's editions of Best Of and like that. But we don't have one in the plans now. You know, as I mentioned, we're doing the cookbooks, and we have a monthly edition that's available for e-books and e-devices and on the computer. It's the extra, so 1 month, you can subscribe for the year. We have approximately 64-page publication with all kinds of more current information for readers of the Old Farmer's Almanac. We don't have a big collection. In the monthly, you'll find some of the best stories from past editions as well as current news and advice. So, you know, it's a different world. I mean, folks have been very loyal to the book projects, and we appreciate that. I mean, we could almost bring the same ones back, to be perfectly honest with you, because the stories are just so swell. We have every edition of the Almanac and every book that the brand has put out, and we often, you know, will take a few minutes and go down and read and get a little background, but also get a little bit of a laugh, a little bit of a grin, because, you know, the mission set forth from Robert B. Thomas from the very first was to be useful with a pleasant degree of humor, and there certainly is that, I think, every few pages, and, you know, certainly an easy way to get a little bit of levity, a little laugh, a little smile in your day, whether it's the 2017 or any back issue. Folks tell us all the time that there's a collection of old farmers' almanacs in the attic from their parents or grandparents or what have you, and they hate to part with them, because once you sit down and start thumbing any version, it's as much fun as it was 5 or 50 years ago. And we just hope we're continuing that tradition so they'll become not necessarily collector's items. I mean, we don't put a value beside the face value on it, to be honest with you. It's newsprint, let's face it. But what's contained therein really is almost priceless.
Janice, do you, since you've been there a while, have you seen, and I know you mentioned the fact that you have kids' editions and so forth, have your demographics changed, or do they keep moving as time goes on and you get the kids, I hate to use the word hooked, but you get the kids interested in the Old Farmer's Almanac, and then do they stick with you through their 20s and 30s and on, or do they,
well,
is there a midterm
that
drop out and then they come back?
Well, it's too soon to say. We've been doing this. The kids' edition is a biannual. It comes out every other year, that is. And it's undated. So unlike the yellow book, you know, really it lasts for generations. And so it's been about 14 to 15 years we've been doing them now. And it's too soon to say, but I think in answer to your question, as more and more people grow something to eat, you know, more and more young people are doing small farms or setting up small plots or even planting, say, tomatoes. Who doesn't love tomatoes? It's the one thing that everybody grows if they grow anything at all. But if they're doing it in a pot on the porch or the back step or whatever, you know, more and more young people are coming back to the traditional values, the country ways, the fun and levity of and practicality of the Old Farmer's Almanac. So, while sure, we've got, you know, still about 50-50 men and women readers. And, you know, they tend to be, you know, 35-plus, say. But as more and more folks just really come back to the soil and find the fun and challenge and excitement of producing their own food, that's really what brings us back. Because we're not just for farmers, I mean, but we're for gardeners and we're for astronomers and, you know, cooks, some great recipes, fun things to celebrate the anniversary year with. As well as some savory pies, the tater tots. I never ate tater tots until we did the recipe test for the tater tot mushroom cheese pie, but it was fabulous.
Janice,
the kids, I was just going to say about the kids' almanac, too, is, you know, we're not necessarily trying to get them hooked, but we're trying to introduce them to the fun facts and the lore and the, you know, the core values of things like learning about the weather and astronomy and sports and history and gardening and plants and bugs and animals and nature. And, you know, so Kids have told us, in one of the first editions, we got a letter from somebody, and this woman, and just summed it right up. She said, my kid can't put it down, and I can't wait to pick it up. And really, that has become the slogan, because it's all color. There's no ads. And adults love to read it. It's narrative, and it's fun facts, so you can get kind of stuck on a story, if you will, a profile of somebody from history or, you know, some particular technique of doing things. And then you can find a lot of fun facts.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. We've got a break to take. Do you mind staying with us for our last segment?
No, it'd be swell. And I'm sorry. I just get so excited. I keep going.
We'll be back right after this.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show, and we've got Janice Stillman on. You know, sometimes you get guests that are really outgoing and really, you know, and I wish Janice had a little more, I wish you had a little more enthusiasm, Janice, about your subject.
You're kind.
We're loving this.
You know,
Janice is fantastic.
I love this job. My job is to make people smile. And that's the responsibility and role of all of us here at the Old Farmer's Almanac in our Barn Red building in Dublin, New Hampshire. And you know, the kind of material we work on, there's no bad news.
Well, yeah, you
and
know,
it's
when we
fun
talked to
fascinating.
Tim, when we talked to Tim the first time, it was like he expressed that you all are a family. And I love the fact that I just talked to your publisher a couple of days before we talked to Tim, and she said, "Well, I've got to go pick up the ice cream for our party this afternoon." I loved it.
So true.
You know?
Yes. Oh, it is like family, actually. Yes.
So what else?
What would I find, Janice, if I drove up there at the headquarters building and got out and came to your door and came into your building? What would I see?
They wouldn't let you in, Dan.
Who would I meet?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're perfectly welcome to do that. Anybody is. We're up here in Dublin, New Hampshire. It's southwest corner of New Hampshire, in the shadow, so to speak, of Mount Monadnock. And it's a small community of about 1,600 people year-round. It's quite rural, but treed, woodsy. And, again, if you take a peek through almanac.com's website camera there, the webcam, you'll see our Barn Red building. Step into the reception area, and you'll see the collection of publications put out by the Old Farmer's Almanac and Yankee Publishing. That's a sister publication. And, you know, you come up here, and It's an older building. It's not super high-tech looking, but, of course, we're all on computers and state-of-the-art, and, you know, we produce the almanac with all the best tools. But it's a very traditional office environment. It's not slick. We've got some lovely gardens outside. You can see a bit of that in the grass. The nice stone library, natural granite library across the street in a sort of Art Deco fashion. The town hall, a large white wooden structure. The volunteer fire department, occasionally when I'm on calls like this, they'll get a call and the blare, the siren goes off and it stops everything. But it's just a lovely community. The general store down the street, just about a quarter mile from here, is a great place for community to stop and have a few words, get lunch, get a few snacks. The post office across the street is a small old schoolhouse, actually. So it's a typical New England environment. We're on a hill. It's a nasty job to get up here on a slick, snowy, icy day. But it's beautiful this time of year. And, again, you can take a peek at almanac.com on the webcam.
That sounds like the way I would picture an 1800s town where everybody was strolling in the street and very polite, and the men are wearing hats and the women are dressed up, and it just sounds picturesque.
It is that, yes. I mean, the folks are, you know, very contemporary, of course. You know, we're not antique,
mm-hmm.
ourselves,
yeah,
but,
sure.
You know, it's typical, and it's just delightful. And, you know, there's no traffic hassles, and, you know, it's just a wonderful community to be in. People are very friendly, and most everybody knows each other.
So what else are you all doing to celebrate the 225th?
Oh, my. You know, that's an excellent question. Thank you. On our Facebook page, and please, all of your listeners are invited to go to Facebook/The Old Farmer's Almanac. We have some super videos. We have quizzes. We'll have games. There's postings every day and invitations to participate. But also go to almanac.com. If you click on the anniversary page, you'll see some videos. Please tell us what you think of the Old Farmer's Almanac. What does it mean to you? And when you post your comment, you can read, boy, I think we're up to 100 or a couple hundred comments. There's like 9 or 12 pages of comments up there. And God bless everybody who took the time to do that, because they're just delightful to read, and it means so much to us. But there are also, as I say, contests on the website. There's some fun videos. There's one that was just posted, and it's on the homepage, almanac.com. Click on it. It's about a minute, and it's the four seasons in pictures from almanac enthusiasts from across the country. They send us photos, and it's all four seasons represented. And it's just stunning. You love the music that plays. It won't take too much of your time. Even with the music off, you can enjoy it. If, like me, maybe you're in the office and you can't be listening to videos while you're working. But, you know, there's so much all through the year. We're not waiting to 2017, the actual date, you know, first of the year to start this. It's already underway.
And what are you all going to do throughout 2017? Are you going to have other things going on as well?
Well, it'll be kind of more of the same. You know, very much multimedia, very much outreach to readers, and invitations to comment, prizes, you know, win calendars and other publications. And there's probably some things that the public relations people haven't shared yet, because they're full of great ideas.
You know, one thing about the almanac, the Old Farmer's Almanac, is the fact, you know, a number of publications have been put out of business by the computer, or they have totally done away with their printing side of it and gone strictly to the electronic format. Where do you see that ever happening to the old Farmer's Almanac, or will it always be a, which I love. I want it in my hands. I don't want to read it off a computer. I want to smell it, touch it, feel it, you know. Where do you think it'll go?
Well, thanks. You know, I've been here for 16 years, and we have been printing and distributing about 3 million copies. And by about, I mean, it's 100,000, you know, more or less, over 3 million for all that time. So that's pretty steady. In the world we live in, to hold a circulation at that number is, you know, I think pretty good by any measure. And then, as I mentioned, we've added the e-version, so folks who do want to have an e-book, and some people want both, you know, because they don't want to get one dirty, and they do want to be able to scribble a note and take the other into the garden or fishing or wherever the case may be. And so, you know, who knows, in however many years, if everybody forsakes paper. We're seeing headlines lately that books are back and books haven't lost ground anymore. But, you know, as I say, the almanac seems to be holding on, just because I think the quality of it and the nature of it is, okay. Like you, so many people want to hold it in their hand. And, you know, we're seeing more and more e-books being sold, but often it is the same folks who just want both ways.
Dan.
Do you range up into Canada with any information? Do you have Canadian weather, or do you stay just, you do?
No. Yes, we do. Actually, we have a Canadian edition. Since 1982, we've been producing a special Canadian edition with Canadian articles, Canadian weather and tide times and fishing days and all the astronomy related to their time zone, which varies a little bit accordingly. And you know, it's just delightful to be able to present the Old Farmer's Almanac to them, and they've been extremely receptive. Coast to coast, folks love the Old Farmer's Almanac up there, and we actually just had one of our editors come back from a press tour. He was up to Edmonton and Toronto and Calgary, and we had another fellow out in the Atlantic provinces. He was in Halifax, and he's from PEI. He does media for us up there and talks to folks. So, you know, in fact, we have a letter from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau as well as President Barack Obama in the 2017 edition, both congratulating the Old Farmer's Almanac on its longevity. And so Canadians are, you know, strong fans, and we love them back.
Very nice.
Well, Janice, I want to thank you for coming on. We're going to have to get out of here in a couple of minutes. In fact, have you got a minute's elevator talk that you can give to us right quick before we have to sign off?
I just hope that everybody enjoys the 2017 anniversary of the Old Farmer's Almanac, 225th anniversary, and you know, about the weather, I know that's very important to people. We hope that you get the weather you want.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Well, we want to wish the Old Farmer's Almanac and you and Tim, and if would you mind doing me a favor, Janice?
Mm-hmm,
would
sure.
you tell the folks that we've touched and talked to, Janice or Tim, your publisher, and a couple of other people there, hello from America's Web Radio, and how much, and I think we can speak for all of our, how much we appreciate the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Well, thank you very much. I'll certainly pass it on. Absolutely. Yes, it's been delightful to talk to you, and thank you so much for your enthusiasm, and you know, best wishes, as we say here, for the new year. Happy New Year to all of your listeners.
Thank you. And, you know, I got a feeling, Dan, that we're going to have Janice, and maybe we can get the Janice and Tim act on before the end of the year.
That would be swell.
All righty. Janice, thank you very much. And we will
Take
be
care.
Talking soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Dan, that was delightful. That's two great shows with the Old Farmer's Almanac. And
aren't they good people?
Oh, you know, you can. It's like I said, you can't pick up the publication without smiling, and you can't listen to Tim and Janice and some of the other folks that I've gotten to meet on the phone. They all have a smile on their face. They get up, I guarantee you, they get up saying, boy, I can't wait to get to the office today. Which I think
another
is
great
fantastic.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lesson there for the rest of us, I think, particularly when you hear all this dismal news.
Sure.
You know, I think the Old Farmer's Almanac is the answer to current dismal news. We should have him on every other week. Brighten us up.
Brighten us up, huh? Well, it's going to be, this evening's going to be interesting. Pray for those that lost family and friends in Washington State over the weekend. You know, we've got to start being more observant in a lot of things. But you're right, and I probably used the wrong word on hooking kids into the Old Farmer's Almanac. But if parents will take the time to introduce their children to the Old Farmer's Almanac and all the it's just a variety of things and information that you can get from it. And you know, after I quit farming, well, I was away from the Old Farmer's Almanac for a number of years, and then have come back to it, and it just, I can sit and just flip through the pages and have a smile on my face and enjoy everything from the articles to the ads. Great folks.
Well, I know my dad read it, and he trusted their weather predictions and the moon, the solar eclipses and the lunar phases. He farmed by it. So,
yeah. Well, good stuff. I hate to say this, Dan, but it's time to put the plug in the jug and get out of here and get ready for Kurt Sumner and the NSPS Hour here on America's Web Radio. So thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dave.
Talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.